How'd you feel to have God speak directly to you when you're trying to pull it up?
Hallelujah.
Like this.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Oh, thank you.
Oh, glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's got some good stuff for us left. In addition to what he's given, he's got some more left. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there isn't anything in this world like hearing the voice of God directly, speaking to you directly, than anything like that. People can say all they want, you know, but what your heart, what your reborn human spirit cries out to hear is the voice of God. It's God that the hidden man of the heart wants to hear from. Praise the Lord. And there just is no experience akin to hearing God's voice speak to you, either audibly or deep inside your heart. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm so grateful for His Holy Spirit. And for the power of His Holy Spirit. I'm so grateful for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which opens up the gateway for us into the deeper things of God. I'm so thankful that God has ordained a way that He might speak to us in a way that really ministers to that hidden man of the heart. Praise God. While we were praying there, I just got so happy. It's amazing, it's interesting, the things that the Lord brings to your mind as you're worshiping and as you're praying and as you're meditating on Him. We had this past week one of the ladies that was here painting, doing the renovations and all, mentioned that one of the contractors, one of the fellows who's going to be doing some work for us here in the building, was here. He came by to make some arrangements, and he began to talk to her about the church. And he said, I've never seen such a happy bunch of people. Your people are so happy all the time. Every time I run into one of your people, they're happy. And I was thinking here as we were on our knees just worshiping the Lord. The Word of God said, blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. Amen. Blessed or happy. That's what that word blessed means, literally happy. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. And you know, it's so unfortunate that so many of the people of God have not made God Lord. They've made Him God, but they haven't made Him Lord. They've said, Jesus, be my Savior so I don't burn in hell. But God, don't ask me to do anything else for you. I don't really want you to be the Lord of my life. I want to be my own Lord. Save me, but I want to run my own show. There's not much blessedness or happiness in that. Blessed is the people whose God is the Lord, who will make God the Lord of their life, who will say, Lord, whatever you want to do, you do it. You just go on and do it. I make you Lord. I give you the right to be the king of my life. I commit myself to you completely without any reservation. If you want me to crawl on my hands and knees from here to Five Points and make a spectacle out of myself there and give you 4 hours to draw a crowd, I'll do it. You're the Lord. I declare you to be Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what that means. We say, I make you Lord, Jesus. I'll do anything for you. I'll even speak in an unknown tongue. My family won't understand what I'm doing. My boss won't understand what's going on. My neighbors won't understand what's going on. But you, Jesus, our Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, this passage of Scripture is so full
that we could literally share on it for a month. We're going to share just that portion of it, however, that the Lord would lead us to share. But before we begin to minister from that word, we're going to ask the Hallelujah Club if they'll come now and minister in song before God and God's people. Are you going to bring them to the platform? Okay. Jesus, He is able to deliver. Praise God. Okay, thank you, kids. By the way, if any of you have 4- and 5-year-olds and want to get them enrolled in this in the Hallelujah Club meets on Wednesday evening on Family Night at 7:30. They have they sing and have a time also of sharing the word and teaching and so on. Wednesday night at 7:30. Let's spend just a moment, please, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the sweet ministry of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You, our Father, for the anointing of Your Spirit. We thank You, our Father, for the anointing of Your Spirit, which is upon the Word of God, that Your Word is alive, that it is Spirit and life, that in Your Word is eternal life, that as we allow Your Word to enter our hearts, we actually become alive, and that life grows bigger and bigger and stronger within us, as we see more and more of what You have done for us and desire to do for us. In Jesus' name, Father, we just ratify that prayer which our brother prayed earlier. We give You thanks, Father, that Your anointing is upon me. We thank You, Lord, that Your anointing is in me and He abides in me forever. We thank You, Father, that as we have asked earlier, that Your anointing also rests upon all of those that are gathered in the auditorium today, and that Your Word will not return void as it goes forth. We ask you, our Father, to give clarity to the proclamation of your word. Show us the direction that you'd like us to take clearly in this passage of Scripture. For you know the needs and the hearts of every person who's gathered here today. You've ordained this service and this particular message before the foundation of the world was ever laid, before any of us were ever born. You knew what words were going to be uttered today. And we open ourselves and yield ourselves and submit ourselves unto you wholly and completely, that you may have your perfect way. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. Jesus had a few days earlier raised Lazarus from the dead. He had done a great and a mighty and a wonderful miracle in Bethany. And as he came into Jerusalem for the feast, this was his last trip. And it was going to be only a few days that he would be crucified and die and be buried. A few days later would he come out of the grave with the tokens of our victory in him. The word had spread all around Jerusalem that this man was a miracle worker, that he had the power of God in his life, that he was one who could do the supernatural works of God. This was a man who could cause a dead man to come out of the grave. This was a man in whom was the life of God himself. This was a man who you'd want to meet. This was a man who had the answers to the problems of mankind. And so some Gentiles came to Philip, a disciple of Jesus, and they said to him, "Sir, we would see Jesus. We want to know this man. We want to meet him. We want to talk with him. We want to find out what he's like and what does he have. We want to see what it is that's in him that makes him alive. We want to know this man." Paul said, "that I might know him." These Greeks asked the same question of Philip. Suppose someone were to ask you that question today. "Sir, I would see Jesus." "Sir, I would see Jesus." "Sharon, I would see Jesus." "Ron, I would see Jesus." "Vic, I would see Jesus." "Susan, I would see Jesus." What would you say? You know, the people of this world, not all of them, but many are crying out in their heart, "Sir, I would see Jesus. Where is this Jesus that I read about? Who is this man that I read about in this great book? Where can I find this Jesus who you say was born in a manger, who lived this life of miracle working, who died one day, but you say rose again from the dead, who's alive today? Where can I find this Jesus who's sitting on the right hand of God the Father? I'm hurting, I'm broken, I have a need, I have no peace in my life, I don't have any rest, no assurance, I'm lost. I want to see Jesus." What do you say? What do you do? What's the answer? Jesus gives us the answer. Philip in that day went to his brother Andrew and he said, "Andrew, these guys want to see the Lord." Andrew went with Philip to Jesus. Jesus answered him this way. Now listen carefully, because it doesn't sound like Jesus is answering his question. They said, "Jesus, these guys want to see you." You'd think that Jesus would say one of two things. "I can't, I'm busy." Or he would have made an appointment to see them. No, that's not what he says. Verse number 23, "And Jesus answered them saying, 'The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Seems like a strange answer, doesn't it? Doesn't seem to answer their question at all. Philip and Andrew could have reasonably said, well, that's okay, Lord, you're going to be glorified, but what I tell these Greeks? What am I going to tell them? They've asked me now, they want to see you. And Jesus went on and gave a word of explanation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, truthfully and truthfully, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat or a grain, a seed, fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Still doesn't sound like much of an answer, does it? He gives them a lesson in biology. He says that if you have a seed, a grain of wheat, if you hold it in your hand alone, you will always have one grain of wheat. And it will be alone. It will never, ever be anything else except one little grain of wheat. But he said, if you put it in the ground and it dies, then it will produce out of the death, it will produce much fruit. Up will come the plant. In another place, he said, the kernel, the shoot, the blade, then the ear and the harvest. In order for that grain of wheat to produce any fruit, anything that is good, it must first die. It must first die. It must go into the ground. It must rot. It must die. And a plant takes its place, and you get a harvest of wheat. Jesus said that without death, there would be no fruit. Are you beginning to see the answer to Philip and Andrew's question? Sir, we would see Jesus. Jesus said, disciples, I'm about to be glorified. This is what's going to happen. Yes, they can come and see me, but I'm all by myself. I abide alone. I'm the only one. I'm the only one in the earth, you see, who has the life of God in him. I'm the only one who has fellowship and communion with God. I am the only one through whom you can come and have a manifestation of God. I'm the only one. But if I will die, then I will not abide alone. If I die, I'll produce much fruit. If I go into the ground and die, then you will be able to have the same life I have. In the 14th chapter of the book of John, Jesus said, it's good for you that I go away, for I come again. He said, if I not go away, the Comforter will not come. And it's the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, who comes and brings into you and into me the life of Almighty God, so that when a man today wants to see Jesus, there's only one way that he can see the Lord Jesus, and that is in his church, in his body. He sees Jesus in you. He sees Jesus in me. He sees Jesus in the church. That's the only place, because Jesus Christ in the flesh is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and God's not taking men to heaven to see Jesus. The answer to the question, brother, the answer to the question, sister, sir, where can I see Jesus? The answer to the question is here. 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 That's your answer. That's mine. Unfortunately, when men see Jesus in us, they do not always see a pure Jesus. They do not always see a perfect Jesus. They do not always see a mature and full-grown Jesus. They see Jesus mixed up with some of the garbage that we have left over, that we have not thrown away yet out of our old life. And when men see that kind of a Jesus, they say, whoa, I'm not really sure that I want that kind of a Jesus. It's interesting to me, and I think if you're following me in the scripture, look at this verse, 23 and 4, and I want to make you a connection here. Verse number 23, Jesus said, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now, how is Jesus glorified? Next verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth fruit. How was Jesus glorified? How was he glorified? Just answer me. He died. He died. Now you take, if you've got a pen with you, and you circle the word glorified, and come down and circle the word die, and connect a line between them. I don't want you to ever forget this truth. Jesus was glorified when he died. How will you be glorified? How will I be glorified? In the same way. In the same way, through death. Through death. If you want to produce the fruit of the life of Jesus Christ in your own life, then you must die. Do you hear me? I said, do you hear me?
Amen.
You must die. Jesus went on to say, he said it so clearly here in verse number 25. He said, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. There's only one way, you see, into the fullness of God. There's only one way into that place, you see, where men can see Jesus in you, and that is to die. The new birth, you see, is in a way a death. It's the death of the old and the birth of the new. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, that means if he's truly a Christian, if he really is in Christ Jesus, I'm not talking about a nominal Christian. I'm not talking about a church member. I'm talking about someone who's been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about someone who's had their life changed. I'm talking about an experience with the Almighty Living God. I'm not talking about an institutional testimony. I'm not talking about being Methodist and Baptist and Presbyterian and interdenominational and charismatic and Pentecostal and the rest. I'm talking about being born again. Knowing Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Some of us think, I think sometimes, that it may have been easy for Jesus to go to the cross. I want you to know it was not easy for Jesus to go to the cross. Read the story about the prayer in Gethsemane if you think it was easy for Jesus to go to the cross. Read what happened in the garden at Gethsemane when he prayed, Father, 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 if there be any other way, will you let this cup pass away from me? I don't want to go on that cross. I don't want to die. I don't want to give my life up. And the sweat began to drip off of his body, droplets of blood. Blood, friend. Blood, not perspiration, blood. Tell me it was easy for Jesus to go to the cross. But he said to the Father, nevertheless, Father, I die to my own desires and my own wishes. I put them behind over here, and I put you first in your desire. Nevertheless, Father, even though my body cries out, my personality cries out, everything that's in me cries out in abhorrence against this miserable, filthy, lousy cross. Everything that is in me cries out, no, I do not want to bear the sin of all the world. No, I do not want to take on all of the world's sickness and pain and sorrow. No, I do not want to put myself into the hands of Satan and his demons. No, I do not want to go into the pits of hell and stay there for one day, let alone for 3 days. No, 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 I don't want to do any of that. Nevertheless, thy will be done. I will do it. Sir, I would see Jesus. are you? Am I so concerned about what I want and what you want that if someone came to you or to me and said, "Sir, I want to see Jesus," you would have to say, "Well, there's a lady up the road here that can help you." Or, "Come on over to the church, the elders will help you." Or, "Come on, my mother is a good Christian lady. She lives in Knoxville, but if you're not in a hurry, I'll take you to Knoxville and you can see Jesus." Or could you say, "Let me show you Jesus right here in my life. Sir, I would see Jesus." Brothers and sisters, nobody will ever see Jesus in your life or in mine if we are so busy pleasing ourselves, if we are so busy doing what we want to do, if we are so busy looking after our own interests that there's no time, you see, to look after His. No one will ever see the Lord Jesus if all they look at, if all they see is me or you. The Bible says that we are to reckon ourselves crucified with Christ. Paul said, "I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." He said to the Corinthian church, he said, "Death is in my body, but life for you." He says, "I die." He said, "Yes, I've been hurt. Yes, I've been persecuted. Yes, I've been distraught and I've been down. But," he says, "I'm not destroyed." He said, "I'm not broken." He said, "It's all right." 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah. And that just thrills me. That the life of Jesus might be manifest in our body. How is the life of Jesus manifested in our body? By everything else dying out. And if it won't die, God's life will not be manifest in you. And that's why, friend, there are so many in the world today that never have really seen a manifestation of Jesus. That's why there are so many in the world today that won't come near a Christian church. Because the Christians they know are so busy doing their own thing that they've never really seen Jesus. I became a Christian because I saw Jesus in my own home. I saw Jesus in my wife. I saw Jesus in her. I didn't even know what I was seeing, but it was good. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. And when I found out what it was, I said, "I want it. Sir, I would see Jesus," and I'd already seen Him in her. She didn't have to preach to me. She didn't have to tell me how miserable I was. She didn't have to tell me what I should and shouldn't do. They accused Jesus of judging them. Jesus said, "I don't judge you. I came to save you. But the words I speak, they judge you. The words I speak, they judge you. The life I live judges you." "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake." Paul said, "For we who truly live," I'm not talking about existing now, I'm talking about living. "For we which live are always delivered." Every day we are delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Why? "That the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. Therefore death worketh in me, but life in you." Do you see it? Do you see it? If you see it, would you just say amen?
Amen.
Oh, good, good, good. You had me concerned there for a minute. I thought, oh my goodness, It sounds pretty clear coming out. Is it clear going in? Praise God. Jesus said, if a man would come after me, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, if you want to go after Jesus, that is the life that Jesus wants you to live. Every day, he says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. Now, there are those who have twisted that verse to say that we are to be miserable and tormented all of our life, and that's our cross. And you've heard people say, oh, that's the cross that I'm bearing for Jesus. Oh, that's my cross, praise God. Pretty hard to see Jesus in that kind of a person, isn't it? You ever heard that before? That's the devil's lie. That is not the kind of cross that Jesus said you were to pick up. Do you know what Jesus did on the cross? What did he do there? One word. He died. A cross is to die on. The purpose for the cross is to die. He said, you pick up your cross and die to yourself and follow me. That's what he meant. Don't go through life miserable. No. He says the victory is in surrender. He says the life is in death. There are those that are trying to hold on to God with one hand and their own desires with the other. And they're being jerked apart like this. And I don't understand why they don't pull apart right down the middle. You cannot do it. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve your own desires and God's. If you want liberty, if you want freedom, if you want joy, then you release yours and go with him. Go with him. Turn loose of your own desires. Let go of them. Curse them. Throw them behind you and go on with God. That's where the joy is. That's where the power is. That's where the victory is. That's where the triumph is. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Let me tell you this. Don't you ever forget this. God's desire for you is so much better than anything you could do for yourself. So why hold on to it? Why do we want to hold on to our own pettiness when what God has for us, and we know it, we already know that, don't we? What he has for us is a million times better. The Bible says that eye hath not seen, nor hath ear heard, neither hath entered into the mind of man that which God has prepared for those that love him. Now that is good news, friend. Praise God, that's good news. You can't conceive of the goodness that God wants to give you. So why will you hold on to what you want? I'm going to tell you, this is the truth. Let go of what you want. Let go of it. Let go of it. Throw it away if you have to. Beat it on the head with an iron poker if you have to put it to death. Do whatever you have to put those things aside. Nail them to the cross. Kill them. And live to Jesus. And live to Jesus. You cannot know until you have done so how wonderful, how absolutely marvelous is the Christian life. Glory to God. It's good, friend. It's good. It's good. Now is the Son of Man to be glorified. He's going to die. If you want to be glorified, die. If I want to be glorified, I'm going to have to die. That's the only way. That's the only way. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power of your word and for the certainty of it. And Father, we thank you that you have shown us today that should someone ask, sir, we would see Jesus, we know what the answer is now. They'll see Jesus in us, won't they, Lord? They'll see Jesus in me. They'll see Jesus in my wife. They'll see Jesus in my children. They'll see Jesus in my brothers and sisters. They'll see Jesus in my parents and my family. They'll see Jesus in this local body and this church. They may not understand what it is that they're seeing, but they will see Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will quicken to their heart that it is true. We thank you, Father, that you made provision for the death of each one of us and our own desires on the cross at Calvary. You said that sin shall no longer have any dominion over us. It shall not lord over us anymore. We're different. And Satan, we take our authority over you in the name of Jesus. You will not continue to lie to us. We are new creatures. We have the likeness of Jesus in us. We are the light of the world, regardless of what you say. We're the light because he said we are. Therefore, Satan, we deny you place in us. You had no place in Jesus, therefore you have no place in us. And we'll not give you any place. We may have been ignorant in the past, but we're not ignorant now. So we put you on notice. You are an unwelcome trespasser and interloper in our lives. And we will not permit you to twist or pervert the witness for Jesus that is in us. We will show forth the true light and there'll be no darkness in us. Our Father, we depend upon the ministry of your Holy Spirit to bring this word to pass and to cause this prayer to be a reality in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that helps you this morning. It really helps me. It really does. As you know, as the word comes forth, I don't know that I can really express to you that I'm, as the word is coming, I'm almost like you are. That I hear it. When it comes, I hear it. And I marvel sometimes at the power that's on the word and the clarity that's in it. And it just blesses me so to know that God's Holy Spirit is ministering to us here. He's ministering to me the same way he's ministering to you. And I just praise God this morning for what he has shown in that passage of Scripture. I never saw that before a few days ago. I mean, that passage, I saw the truth, but not ever that passage of Scripture. Praise the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. He's not far off. And when he comes, we want him to know who we are, don't we? We don't want the world to be surprised when we go to be with him, huh? See, I tell you, when I go, I want people to, well, I know why he went. That was true. All those things he was saying, it was the truth. That really was Jesus in him. I want people to know that, don't you? Amen. James, come, would you please? And we're going to close the service today with the song, "The King is Coming." And he surely and truly is. Praise God.